Brother Hush gave me an answer. What makes us come back? What made you come back tonight? What makes you come back? You said it ain't got nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, sir. I agree. I beg to differ on that. What makes you come back? What makes you get up every Sunday and go to the house of the Lord? What makes you get up every Sunday night and go to the house of the Lord? What makes you say, hey, we're not canceling Sunday nights. We're going to stick with the stuff. No matter what the others do, that's their business. We're going to stick with the stuff. We're going to stick with it. You say, we're running out of preachers. Too many preachers. They're tired. They wore out. Somebody else sit down. Somebody else get up and you get tired. Can I get an amen? There's always somebody willing to take your place, willing to take your spot and put your feet where your feet's been. Amen? Put their feet there. So what I want you to know tonight is what makes the difference? Make you want to do, make you want to serve. What makes the difference? There's just a different spirit. There's just a different spirit. A different spirit in that person tonight. And tonight I want to talk about the different spirit that we find in a believer tonight, in a child of God tonight. A different spirit tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, Numbers 14 tonight will be, and be just for a few moments there, and then we'll dismiss and go on to the house. But Numbers 14 and verse number 24, I want to talk about a different spirit. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm not talking about an evil spirit. I'm talking about a bad spirit. I'm talking about the right spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost spirit. I'm talking about the spirit that you need in your life tonight to finish this course, to finish this race tonight. I thought it was fitting tonight to hear there's honey in the rock. We're going to be talking about Caleb and what he had here. And then we talked about that God fights the battles tonight. And you know as well as I do, there was only two that was sent out of the 12. 10 of them come back with a negative report. Don't that sound like a bunch of Baptists? Getting a meeting and two says we can do it and 10 says, hey, ain't no way. That's a bunch of Baptists right there. Can I get a witness? Amen? Hey, try to get anything done. Hey, if you want to eat, we'll eat now. But if you want to do anything for the Lord, hey, two will be on board, 10 will be against it. So he's got picky about. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what. But anyway, let me just get on tonight. I can tell we're going to have a good time already. Amen? Numbers chapter number 14 and verse 24. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand tonight. I want you to know I'm a preacher. I'm not an undertaker. I'm not a caretaker. As a pastor, I'm a risk taker. That's what I am. I love to take risks and see what God's going to do. And building this new building out here, people know that's a risk taker. Hey, anything goes sideways, anything goes south. But with God in control, it'll go the right way. Amen? Numbers 14 and verse 24, the Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, there it is, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We thank you tonight, Father, for your word that it's written down. Father, I thank you tonight that this word is what changes lives. I thank you that Peter said that we're born again by that incorruptible seed tonight, by the word of God tonight. Lord God, that word speaks life into our life. It gives bread to those that are hungry. It gives water to those that are thirsty. It gives encouragement to the one that is discouraged. It gives life to the one that's dead. Lord, tonight I pray for the next few moments that you encourage everyone tonight. I pray I encourage this congregation just as the choir encouraged me a while ago. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you have your will and way. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. Let me not say one word that you don't want me to say. You shut my mouth if I say something that's wrong. But Lord, tonight, if I can uplift your name, you allow me to do that tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight we're going to look at a different spirit tonight that was in Caleb. Tonight we see that Caleb was a faithful servant of God. Folks, we need to be faithful servants as Caleb was. Someone that stands up and stands out for God no matter what goes on. And you say, preacher, what made Caleb have that different spirit? What made him different from everybody else that was in that group? I say to you, number one tonight, because Caleb was a servant of God. You look here in the text tonight, it says, but my servant Caleb. Hey, I want you to know tonight, if I can be known of anything of my Lord tonight, I pray he looks down and he calls me a servant tonight. I pray he said he's one that serves, that one that'll get out in the highways and hedges and beat down doors, and he'll be a servant of mine. You know what a servant does? He don't think himself higher than the master. He doesn't do that, Brother JD. He stays humble and he stays in a place where God can use him. And tonight, Caleb was a servant of God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Number one, because he was chosen by God. He says, Caleb, my servant tonight. He was chosen by God. He was a companion of God. He was a friend of God. Everything he did, he did it around God and what God would have him to do. I see that Caleb was a servant of God. He was chosen by God. He was a companion of God. And the Bible says that he was a friend of God. But not only that, but he was a child of God. He was a follower in what God had called him to do. He followed him fully in every area of his life. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that tonight? Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Hey, tonight when you get looking for God, I want you to know he's not hid out in a corner. He's not hiding himself tonight. He's out in plain view everywhere you go. You just look at creation tonight and what he's done, and I'm telling you, you'll see God everywhere. And if that doesn't make you faithful tonight, I don't know what will. Hey, can I get an amen? That song a while ago said, you've seen a cross. I've seen a cross, but you've seen an empty tomb. I thank God tonight that the tomb's empty, don't you? Hey, because that tomb is empty, I can be a servant of the Most High God tonight. He said that Caleb was a servant of God. He served God in every area of his life. In verse 24 he said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him. He just had another spirit inside of him. He had that Holy Spirit. He had that spirit that would draw, and that spirit that would divide, and it would do what God had called you to do. I don't know about you tonight, but the greatest thing that a person can say is this, is that I'm led by the Spirit of God. Folks, tonight I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Don't you? He said tonight that Caleb was a servant of God. But let me give you this also tonight. Caleb had a spirit of God about him. Not only was he a servant, but he had a spirit of God about him. And I want to give you this tonight as we get into this. You say, what kind of spirit did he have? Turn with me to chapter number 13 and verse number 30, if you will. I want to show you this in Numbers chapter number 13. You know they was going to spy out Canaan land. And they was going to go and spy it out and see what was going on. And Moses said, I want you to go. And I want you to see if we can overtake that land. I want you to go see if it's something that we can do. He said, I want you to go see if it flows with milk and honey. I want you to see if it's right. I want you to tell me how many people's there. I want you to tell me how big the army is. I want you to tell me if we can overtake it. I want you to tell me all these things. Not one time did he say, I want you to come back and say we can't do it. All I want you to do is go give a report. You know what? Tonight, when I say I can, that tells me that God can. My faith ain't where it needs to be. I'm not believing in what God can do. He said, I don't want you to do that. I just want you to go look and see what's going on. Hey, tonight, can I say to you that Caleb had a spirit of God about him? And you say, what kind of spirit did he have? He had a commanding spirit. He didn't whimper down. He didn't sit down, but he stood strong in what he was called to do. Look what he said here tonight in chapter 13 and verse number 30. And it said, and Caleb, what'd he do? He stilled the people before Moses. Moses was the leader, but they came back and they got complaining and said, it won't work. We can't win. We can't overdefeat them. We can't do this. We're too small. There's too many of them. But you know what tonight? I don't care how small you are, how little you are, or what is going on in your life. When God's told you to something and he's given you that spirit about you, you back up and you let God have his way and you get in line and you just follow it. Amen? He said tonight he had a commanding spirit. He said what he told here. He said, and let us go up at once. That's that commanding spirit. He said, yes, all this is true. Everything out there is true. Everything you see is against us, and I agree with that. He said, but listen, we got something on our side that they ain't got. Woo, glory! Hey, wake up in here. Hey, we got something on our side. We got somebody on our side the world ain't got. Amen? Man, if that don't fire you up, I don't know what will. That's why I'm not part of the nine. I'm part of the one. Because I've got somebody the world ain't got. He said, listen, boys, let's go at once. Let's go take it now. Let's go take it now. Joshua and Caleb, they wanted to go take it. Take what God had gave them. And listen to this tonight. It was a commanding spirit. He said, let's go up at once. You know why? Because today is the day of salvation. When God's given you a task, do what God's given you to do because of that different spirit. I see he's a servant, but I see he had a spirit of God. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. That means he told them to hush for just a minute. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it. He said, not only was his spirit commanding, but his spirit was confident. He said, let's go get it. Let's go get it. Let's go get it. He had no plan. He said, let's just go get it. How many times in your life do you strategize or whatever you want to call it? You know the word I'm trying to talk about? Y'all know? It's kind of like that plate we ate last night on the menu. I didn't know the word. I wasn't going to get into it. Can I get amen? categorize, strategize, whatever you want to call it. We're trying to put it where we can figure it out, make sure it's all good. And when you add it up at the end of the day, the numbers don't add up. Nothing adds up. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be doing this. But God said, go do it. And he is the equal button. Can I get an amen? And he said this. He said at once, he said, let's go get what God has promised us. Can I say to you tonight, God has promised every one of you in this room something. I have no clue what it is tonight, but he's made promises in my life, Brother Gary, and I'm not backing down on them. I'm not giving up and giving in. It don't matter what the world looks like. It don't matter what the world says. I know tonight what God's called me to do and put in my life, and I'm going to stand on that. I must have, and you must have, and everybody else in this room, you must have a commanding spirit and saying, we're going to go get what God has given us. Tonight, if you don't go get it, you won't have it. Look at this tonight. Let me show you this tonight in the text. Man, I love this. I love this, what he's saying. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Not only did he have a commanding spirit, not only did he have a confident spirit, but he had a contagious spirit. He was willing to rally the troops. He said, come on, boys, let's go. There was one Caleb, one Joshua, and there were 10 other ones. But let me warn you of this. The same spirit that says we can, there's another spirit on the other side that says we can't. And if you allow that spirit that says we can't, we won't, or any of them, you'll never receive what God will have for you in your life. You say, preacher, when does he start giving me what I need and giving me what I need and giving me what I need and giving me what I need? How do I get that and stand on him and do it? It's when you put your foot out. Sometimes you've got to step to get what he's going to give you. You stand here and you can believe all you want to, but sometimes you got to put action to it and you got to go. You got to go and take what shores, what God's promised you, what God's given you. And tonight you'll only do that if you got a different spirit and you hear the word of God. You hear what God is speaking to your heart. Friends, tonight, just as God speaks into your ear, oh, Satan's on the other side speaking. When he tells you to do this and he tells you to do that, you get ready. The enemy's coming and he is going to speak to you just the same way, but it won't be the right way. It said that he had a different spirit about him. He said, let's go up at once and possess it, and he was rallying the troop. But tonight, not only did he have a contagious spirit, he had a compelling spirit. We are well able to overcome it. He gave them the reason they could go. He said, listen to me, we can overcome this. There may be walls in your life tonight, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can overcome it tonight. You may have wickedness in your life tonight, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can overcome it. Amen? Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So tonight, we're able by that different spirit to overcome tonight. Look at this tonight, if you will, in Numbers 13 and verse number 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land what it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, there's few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be, look what he said. He said, I want you to go look at all this. I want you to go look. And he said, when you get out there and you're overnumbered, and it looks like you can't do it, and you can't get past it, here's what he said to do. He said, don't complain. No, here's what he said to do. He said, be of good courage. He said, I just want you to be of good courage. Bring me back the report. Be of good courage. And look what he said. He said, don't only be of good courage. He said, but bring you back proof that it'll work. Bring you back proof. Look what he said. He said, oh, glory to God. And he said, I want you to do this. And bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land of the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob and the men of Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron and Ammon, Shishai, and Tamar, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And there came unto the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. One cluster now. And they bare it between two upon a staff. They got proof. They got proof that man, we need to take what's ours. They got proof. Look what he said. They got proof. And they brought it upon a staff, and they brought it of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land about after 40 days. And when they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, They showed them the fruit. Here they got it. They brought back proof, boys. We need to go get it. Girls, we need to go. We need to go get what's ours. God has promised us this land. We need to go get it. And if we stay over here, we're not going to be fruitful. Hello? There's nothing growing over here. There's nothing growing over here. If we don't step and go, we ain't going to be fruitful. People say, why are you building this? Why are y'all building this building out here? It's for the next generation. It's for the next. We're looking down the road. You say, they'll never be able to upkeep it. Hey, they won't have to build it. All they got to do is pay the power bill on it. Can I get an amen? Do a little upkeep every once in a while. Do a little upkeep. It ain't for you and me. It's for the next generation. We're looking down the road. We want it to be fruitful. We want it to multiply. We want it to be great for Jesus Christ. Man, listen to this tonight. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where thou sent us. And here's what they said. They said, we're not going to deny with you one bit. And can I say, a naysayer will always brag on what's going on before they cut your legs out Monday. Right? My daddy, when I asked him, could I do something, he'd always say, son, I think that's a pretty good idea, and I think it worked pretty good, and I think and all that. I said, I know what's coming. No, I ain't getting to do it. It's out. What? Here's what they said. They said, there's no doubt. And they told him, they told Moses and Aaron and said, we came unto the land where thou sent us. And surely, he said, man, it flowed with milk and honey. Man, with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Here's what I got naysaying. Here's where Caleb had the right spirit and they had the wrong spirit. You want to know where you're at with the Lord? If your attitude's always negative, you're not hooked up in the Holy Ghost like you need to be. Just saying. And I can say that because I'm one of them. Deacons, y'all know, y'all been in meetings with me. There's times I get sideways, get a little negative. I'll be first to you. Man, I don't know, I don't know. And there's some of them says, I don't know, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's the best, whatever's best for the church. So you get here to this place, and you get here, and here's what they say is going on. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, these big monsters, these big humans. Man, they're tall, they're big. And the Amalekites, man, we done been beat by them. They dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. They gave all this negative. And here Caleb comes. He's a servant of God. He's got a different spirit. And he just stands up and he says, hey, hush. We can handle this. We can take it. We can take it. We can take it. He said, we can take it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they're exactly right. They are stronger. But the only thing they didn't have on their side was God. It don't matter how weak you are. It don't matter what's going on in your life. If God's on your side, you're stronger than the adversary. I see Caleb was a servant. Caleb had a spirit about him. And Caleb was a son of God. He fully followed God. Not only did he fully follow God, he faithfully followed God. Y'all know what happens from this moment on. They don't go into Canaan. They don't go in to take the land. Do you know how many churches right now, because of the leadership of the church that wouldn't step, that didn't want to move, that didn't want to plow, that didn't want to go, there's people sitting in congregations to this day that are still under that same we can't do attitude. And that them, there's people in leadership positions would rather the church die than they lose their authority. Hello? You say, well, it ain't like that here. I don't want it to be like that here. There's churches still stuck in a rut. They may be full of people. They may be full of people. I'm not arguing that a bit. But I'm talking about they get to that place and they would soon the church dry up and die. Then they lose that leadership position. And the only way that church is going to grow and the only way it's going to prosper is some of them folk have to die out. And that's sad. Here they had to die for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness because they wouldn't stay up. They had two men tell them, this is the way we need to go. And they said, we ain't going that way. And the majority ruled. So we ain't going that way. We ain't doing it that way. And them 10 men said, we're not doing it that way. And them 2 said, but it's the right way. You said, well, they got punished because of that. Oh, no, sir, my friend. You'll never be punished for following God. You said, 40 years in wilderness is a long time. Boy, Joshua and Caleb, they was blessed with the best. Amen. You said, how do you know that, preacher? I'm going to show you right here. When you get that spirit on you, you're a servant. And no matter what goes on in the church, I just want to be a servant. I just want to be a servant. You got a different spirit about you, and you realize you're just a son of God, a daughter of God. You just, man, you're just loving Him. And you say, well, I think we should, hey, just love God. He fully trusted God. He faithfully followed and trusted God. He didn't give up. He didn't give out. He stood with it. Let me show you what God did to him, what God did to Caleb, and what God's going to do to some of you in here. What God's going to do to some of you in here. They fully followed God. He faithfully followed God. 1 Peter 2:21, the Bible says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Fully followed God, faithfully followed God. He fervently followed God. He stood up for what he believed. And forever, all the days of his life, he followed God. At this time, Joshua was here. He's going to be somewhere in this area around 45 years old. 40 to 45 year old here in the book of Numbers. But if you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter number 14, I want to show you this in the book. Turn with me over to Joshua. You remember what the Lord told Joshua? Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is dead. But in Joshua 14, verse 7 through 11, I want to show you this. And Caleb was 40 year old when he went and spied out the land. 40 year old. He said, boys, we can do it. As your pastor tonight, I don't know what God's got in store for us, but folks, we can do it. In Christ Jesus, we can do it. If our attitude and our approach be all about Him, it'll work. It'll work. Joshua 14, just a different spirit. I just want to share it with you. Joshua 14, verse number 7. Read with me here. I want you to listen to this. Here's what Caleb said. 40-year-old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea. He said, I was 40-year-old. Who in here is in their 40s? Raise your hand. Okay, some of us are proud about it, amen? I'm just glad I've got 44 of them in. Got a lot of 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds look like, and younger. 40-year-old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He said, I just told Moses what was in my heart. We can handle it. We can do it. And Moses swore on that day, saying, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me in verse 8 made their heart of the people melt, but I fully followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He told Caleb, he said, it's going to be yours. It's going to be yours. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? The Lord's kept me alive. Well, we can say that's an amen. And he said, these 40 and 5 years, he's 45 years older now. He's 85 year old, Caleb is. He's 85 and still serving the Lord. I don't care if you're 75 or 85 in here. You don't never retire and get out. You signed up for the long haul. 40 and 5 years even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. 85. As yet I was as strong this day as I was in that day of Moses sent me. He said, I ain't lost a bit of strength. That's the hand of God on a man. That's the hand of God on a man. He said, I ain't lost a bit of strength, boys. I'm just as strong as I once was. Why? Because God's promise was on him. He said, get this. And I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then. Even so is my strength now for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. What did he give him? He gave him what he knew they could take. He gave him the land he knew he could have. He gave him what he knew. Tonight I want to share this with you just as simple as I can. Where you're at tonight is nothing. There's churches everywhere that preaches the gospel. I'm not disputing that a bit. I don't know what goes on in them churches. I don't have a clue. I won't ever go to them. I mean, I've got a job here. I've got a servanthood here. I got a position here. I got a place here. I got an obligation here. So this is where I'm at here. Amen? But I do know God's hands on this place. I do know God's hand on this place because there's a different spirit here. I said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" I want to share one little story that I had forgot about that Dave Tidwell brought to my remembrance on the trip the other day. We was in Georgia almost. We knew that God was leading us to something here that was bigger than ourselves. The folk that were here before I came has prayed and labored and sowed and reaped. The Lord's blessed. Numerous here at this church. Numerous. We were sitting in a deacon's meeting one day when we didn't know what to do for land or didn't know what to do. We're fixing to build another building out here, by the way, so just keep praying. And when we went, and there's some new faces in here, you need to know this. We were landlocked, basically, Brother David. There was nowhere to do nothing. We had a septic tank that wouldn't even hold septic water. It stayed full continuously. It was just bad. And we're sitting in a meeting. Brother Johnny was in the meeting and said, "Hey, what about let's get in some land, see if we get some land." And we went to the Ogdens. They own land everywhere around us, on every corner. And when I called Mr. Billy Ogden at Sulligent and told him what we wanted done, he said, "I no longer own that block. I've traded that block to my sister that lives in Jackson, Mississippi. She owns that block of land now. I don't own that no more." And I said, "Okay." He said, "But here's her number." And I called her up. I was sitting on Front Street at Sulligent, and I called her up. At that moment, that could have just killed the deal and said, no need to just stop even trying. But when you stop, what good is it going to do? You're done. You know, people are still working in their 80s. You know why? Because they say, "If I quit, I'll die." Why? Because there's a work to be done. They continue, they just continue. They just keep on. And eventually, one day you don't see them. They just went on out. They just kept doing. And I called her up, and her name was Lila Wilder. And I called her up, and I said, "Miss Lila, you don't know me, but I know you." And I told her where the church was, and she knew exactly where it was. And I said, "We need some land over there. We're landlocked. It ain't nothing we can do." And I said, she said, "Well, we don't do that." I said, "Well, you're the key. You're the key that unlock is, or you're the key and you not do it and it won't unlock there at that place. But I believe you're the key." And she said, "How much do y'all need?" And we went into the whole spiel and what we thought it would take. And she said, "I tell you what, we'll do it." She said, "Call me back in 30 days. As pastor, I come in the old church and I was excited, told the folk about it. Man, everybody's hooping and hollering. We're going to get land. We're fixing to be able to move on what God's called us to do." I called back in 30 days and her daughter, Mary Kay, answered. And I said, "I was wanting to talk to your mom." She said, "Well, mom had cancer and she died." I said, "Oh, no." I just ended the conversation. "I'm sorry for your loss. If there's anything we can do, let us know." We sent flyers. We did what we could. We tried to minister to that family in Jackson the way we could. Told the church, I said, "For 30 days, let's pray and fast and ask God to move." You see, you could have said, "Well, that's over with and that's done." And one stipulation in every bit of this, she wouldn't be out no money. We pay all lawyer fees, all closing costs. She ain't out no money on the land. We'll accept that responsibility. We rocked on there, and the Lord just kept moving and moving. At the end of that 30 days, I called back. The church had fasted, prayed, called back. And I talked to Miss Mary Kay on the phone. And I said, "Hey, I was wanting to call back and talk to you about what me and your mom talked about." She said, "Oh, yeah, preacher, I've been waiting on you to call." She said, "I know what mom told you that she was going to do. I'm good with that. That sounds great." She said, "But there's only one stipulation." I thought, "Oh, Lord, what's this going to be?" She said that all the closing costs, all the lawyer fees, everything, let me pay them in honor of my mom. In memory of my mom. I wonder who tonight thanks you're at your end, and you say, "That's just it. I can't, there's nothing else." And God says, "No, there's a way over here. There's a door you've not opened it yet. There's an avenue you've not went down yet." We went to Strawbridge and Verdon. That's who she used to draw it up. We went in. Brother Kevin went. Brother David went. Several other deacons that was at that time, Brother Johnny. And when we went in, that Strawbridge at Verdon down there said, "What have y'all done? They don't usually pay closing costs. And what's going?" Can I say what it was? It's the hand of God. His hand's a lot bigger than our hand. $9,000 in the checking account. Not one penny. Did he have a savings? Didn't he know what a savings account was at this church? David Barnes, is that not the truth? $9,000 in the general fund. And we're going to build a building. $9,000 in the general fund. And we're going to build a building. People thought we were crazy. And I agree with them. We got a little bit of that in us too. Amen. To be a Jesus follower, you got to be a little. You got to believe. You got to step. And God just kept blessing and blessing, Brother JD, and blessing, and blessing. Just cause one door shut didn't mean another one. No, blessing, and blessing, and blessing, and blessing. Why? Because we're servants. Because we had a different spirit. We have a spirit not to give up. We're going to fight. Because we're children of God. You say, why you tell us that tonight, preacher? Where's the nine? Where's the nine that's seen that hand? Where's the nine that's seen that mighty hand of God in this place? But yet the cares of this world got them distracted. Got their mind off what God can do. If I can give you anything as a pastor, it's this. As Brother Kevin said when we start, no matter what you go through this week, God's hand's on you. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He's going to grow you. And he's going to give you what you need this week. But you will never, ever have that kind of spirit if you're not willing to follow him. That spirit I'm talking about tonight, that different spirit, it's the Holy Ghost. And when there is no way, he makes a way. That spirit would open avenues, he'll open doors, he'll open them every which way. And the last thing I'm going to give you is this. We had a budget. You said, go possess it. We wouldn't possess what God had gave us. We fixed to possess it out here, what God has gave us. Fixed to possess what God, we fixed to take what God's gave us. We fixed to let God have his glory out there. They come in, they're pouring white rock out here in the parking lot. And the bid was $40,000. So how do you know these numbers? I got them wrote down, but I got them in my heart more than that. Because it stings. You don't forget nothing that stings, right? $40,000. They'd hauled white rock from everywhere. Son, they was piling up out there like you ain't never seen, fixing that out there. And the guy called me, and he said, we've overshot budget, preacher. I thought, okay, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, I can explain this. He said, it's $150,000. Huh? He said, yeah, and it's done on the ground out there. My drivers didn't know. They just kept hauling. Well, it was supposed to have been $40,000, we're at $150,000 now. But we think that's going to cover it. And I'm thinking, and y'all, I'm sitting on a bundle of lumber out there, and I'm talking about do not lose spirit in this place. I feel like we're at a place right now, we're at a rut, and we got to look at God, look at his hand, look at he's going to provide, and just keep moving. I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. Don't get sour. Don't get sour. Don't lose the enjoyment. Don't lose what we got here in Christ Jesus. How we excited. I remember there's a time we was excited to come to church. Man, we was excited to be here. Got here early and wanted to see what God would do, how God would move. Don't lose that excitement. Because listen to me, when you lose that excitement, it's hard to get it back. I was sitting on that bundle of lumber out there and old Brother Harold Cantrell walk up. Y'all know Brother Harold. Got that hat bent down, you know, just all curled in out there. Had on his overalls. He pulled up. I think Brother Lee was with him. He was. And I was sitting out there. And most time I'm happy-go-lucky. And I was doom and gloom, son. How am I going to tell the deacons? How am I going to tell? I ain't got nothing to do with this. I ain't the one hauling rock. But it felt like the load of the world was on my shoulders at that moment. And they walked up out there, and Brother Harold said, what's going on, brother? Slapped me on the back. Said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm doing all right. He said, no, you ain't. What's wrong? I said, it's hard times, Brother Harold. I said, let me tell you what happened. I told him the story. And he said, is that all you got to worry about? He said, I blow more money out of a tailpipe every year than that. He said, don't you worry about that. He said, God's brought us here, and he's going to see us through it. When this building was completely finished, our budget was right on the money. That $110,000 that was blowed out there, when the heating and air man come here to put the heating and air in, it's supposed to be $140,000 to $160,000. And he wrote down on a piece of paper, $78,000. And he wrote, I am boss. He said, if I can have the bid on the church, I'd love to have it. Evans Heating and Cooling in Hamilton, Mississippi. He come out here and put the heating and cooling in this place, put us right back on budget. He had no clue. So tonight, if you think you've blowed it, remember this tonight. God can put you right back where you need to be. You might have blowed it over here, but he's got a way to put it back over there. They blowed it for 40 years, but he told Joshua, he said, I got you over here. You may be 85, but you're going to be just as strong as you ever had. And tonight, as your pastor, I want this church to be strong as it's ever had. When my time's done, deacons, when y'all's time's done, and we're old and gray, ready to get out and give up, amen? And we're doing all we can do. I pray we leave it better than we found it. Tonight, that's my prayer to you. I pray you leave it better than you found it. Tonight, if you're a servant, you got that spirit all about you, you're a child of God. And you take that to your heart tonight and run with it and stick with it. And don't let no adversary get on you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for the word that you allowed me to share tonight. Lord, this morning, Father, you know my heart about the nine. But I'm sure I am thankful tonight for the ones that are here tonight, the ones that was here this morning. Thankful for the faithfulness, Lord. I just can't get over faithfulness, Lord. You said that's what it's required in stewardship. Faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, Father, you said, moreover, it's required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. And Lord, Caleb was faithful. He was a servant. Lord, he didn't back down. He didn't back out. He just stood his course. And Lord, tonight I thank you for a church that's just going to stand their course. A lot of things are changing in the world we live in, but that Bible hasn't. And Lord, I pray we stand on it here at this church. Lord, we got a new building going to be coming up before long. We fix to circle up and pray over it. We're going to have a new building coming up, and I pray that this ain't a place we go out there and play and eat, but I pray it be a place we can minister. Lord, we can help the next person coming along down the road. Lord, we'll be a lighthouse for you, Father, out here. And Lord, when people want to know what's going on, Jesus, you're what's going on. And Father, I pray tonight, as we leave this place tonight, this week be a week be full of blessings. Lord, I pray you clear our mind, clear our heart, clear our souls. Lord, set us up where you'd have us to be. Bring us back to our next time we're supposed to be here. In the holy, precious name of Jesus, I ask and pray. All of God's people say, amen and amen. Let's gather.